Now, back to the Barnabas Health High School football show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And welcome back. We are live at Baker's Water Street Grill in Toms River, setting the scene for tomorrow night's Brick Memorial Neptune game. We just chatted a little bit about the Mustangs, and we're delighted to welcome in the second-year head coach of the Scarlet Flyers of Neptune, his team off to a 4-0 start, the always gracious Mark Ciccatelli. Coach, how you doing tonight?
Okay, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing good and glad to talk to you, and obviously it's been a good start to the season for you, 4-0 overall, one of those via forfeit, and you probably feel you're coming off your most complete game of the season, beating Mattawan, a good football team last week, 46-10.
Yeah, you know, our boys, you know, coaching staff as well, we did a, you know, I did a great job of, having a complete game, you know, both schematically and, you know, from an execution standpoint. Our guys are really starting to click on all cylinders.
Coach, when you, almost go back to last year, and I think so much of the talk was after you guys had that unbelievable season a year ago and you had to graduate a lot of pieces, I think there were some going into the season that said, hey, maybe Neptune takes a step back. How much of that was either a conversation or a little bit of a motivation for some of the guys that were actually returning this year?
I think anytime, you know, you lose the caliber of players that we had lost, people are going to question, are you going to be able to do the things you did the previous year? But, you know, we talked and we spent a lot of time with our guys in the off season in the weight room, and we told them, listen, it's your turn to keep this program in good standing. And, you know, tradition doesn't graduate. We need to step up. You need to step up and keep the program going in the direction that you know, we want it to continue to go.
Mark, this is the third week of a pretty tough stretch for you. Long Branch 2 weeks ago, Mattawan last week, and now Brick Memorial. Three real good football teams facing you, all undefeated at the time you face them. Tell us a little bit about the Mustangs and the challenges that you're faced with tomorrow night.
Well, once again, excellent football program, excellent staff, with a lot of tradition. They know how to win. They're going to play their hearts out. And we have our hands full. You know, again, a lot of tradition, and we're going to have to show up and be ready to go.
Coach, does it make any difference when you think about this? I mean, as Ed just said, you played Long Branch and then Mattawan last week, and now you kind of step out of the division a little bit. Does it make it any different in terms of even the kids' mindset, like, hey, we get a little bit of a break from B North, but we still have to play an undefeated team, and it becomes almost now a county-type rivalry, maybe one of the best in Monmouth County to take on one of the better teams in Ocean County?
Well, again, you know, we try to, you know, convey the message to our boys when we put the pads on, whether it's practice, whether it's a scrimmage, whether it's a B North game, an out-of-conference game, you know, that we're going to play hard from the minute we start until the minute we finish. So we don't really get too, you know, caught up in that stuff. So, you know, whoever we play, you know, I'm hoping that we come and we give 100% effort mentally and physically.
Talking with Neptune coach Mark Ciccatelli of Scarlet Flyers, visiting Brick Memorial tomorrow night in a game we'll broadcast on 105.7 The Hawk and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Mark, what were your concerns or your greatest concerns coming into this season off last year's state championship teams in terms of spots that you felt you had to get stronger in, and have you improved in those areas halfway through the season?
Well, again, I think when you lose an Ike Calderon, a Janine Woods, a Jasmar Clax, you know, and a David Gutsmore, and some of the offensive linemen that we lost, and some of the other players that we had at receiver, you know, I mean, it, of course it's a concern, but again, we challenge those guys that we're going to step in for those guys, and they've done a great job of answering the bell and you know, get it done and keep things going in the right direction.
Coach, you mentioned Jaheim Woods, who last year, of course, was the Offensive Player of the Year in the Shore, now at Stony Brook. Tell us a little bit about the guy that's replaced him. G. Patterson has stepped in, and you haven't really missed a step since he's been there.
Yeah, he's done an outstanding job. You know, he's studied the game. He studies the game. He's getting better each week. He brings some other things, to the table. But, he really is a competitor. He's a tough kid. He's really starting to take the offense into his hands and execute it and be a leader. He's doing some special things for us.
It all starts on the ground, but I got to tell you, I don't know if there's too many teams in the state that could boast a better pair of wide receivers in Jeff Fairbanks and Keith Kirkwood. When you have to go to the air, boy, those are two great targets for your quarterback.
Yes, they are. And, first and foremost, they're unbelievable human beings, great kids to work with every day. As you know, Keith, it's his first year playing football, and the things that he is doing on the field and in practice each and every week, it amazes me. Some people can't believe that it's his first year playing. And Jeff, on the other side, he's just continuing to do the special things that he is able to do, each and every weekend. And we have those inside guys, say Koo Harris and Keyshawn Rice and Miles Martin. Those guys are doing an outstanding job for us.
Coach, how difficult was it for you guys that week against Ocean when you were supposed to have a game, you prep and get ready for it, and then it turns out that the game was canceled? I mean, you get the forfeit win, but nobody really likes to do it that way. But just in terms of how you went about kind of keeping everybody sharp with an unannounced week off.
Well, again, you have to control the controllables. There was nothing we can do about that. Did it stink? Of course. Our guys were ready to play a football game, and, we get a phone call, hey, the game's going to be canceled. So what are you going to do? There's nothing we could do. You move on, you get ready for Long Branch. Our guys were down a little bit, but, again, we couldn't control that. So we don't get too caught up in that.
Mark, it looks like summer's coming back tomorrow. Temperatures in the mid-80s.
Again, we couldn't control that. So we don't get too caught up in that.
Mark, it looks like summer's coming back tomorrow. Temperatures in the mid-80s and a sunny day, and it's only going to make for a hot, humid night tomorrow. Any precautions?
Well, of course you want to, keep everybody hydrated. You talk about it, this evening when you leave the practice. Make sure you start hydrating now. Tomorrow in school,
we really
get the water in
you. Some time on tomorrow
and so forth. I guess that's about all we can do.
As always. Well, what we can do is look forward to tomorrow night, Mark. We really appreciate you giving us some time on football leave. Look forward to seeing you at Brick Memorial tomorrow night. Thanks as always.
All right, guys.
Good talking to you, Mark Chickadelli, the head coach at Neptune. He goes on his way, and we pretty much set the scene for tomorrow night. And to divert a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just going to say one more thing about Mark. Three state championships in the last 4 years. One at Freehold, two at Freehold, and one at Neptune.
Coach, you remember about the one you and stack off? I don't know. We'll find out. It's officially we're joined by a guy who's had some success. That's an understatement during his coaching career. I don't know. We'll find out if he's officially retired or just taking some time off.
Jackson,
let me tell you what. When I introduce, as I introduce Chris Barnes, a longtime friend of ours who coached at Jackson, built the program at Jackson Memorial, then went over and had a great run at Wall. Chris, I know last week you kind of debuted with us in the broadcast booth as I was on special assignments, and I'm going to tell you the comments I've gotten from both Mark and Ed. They've encouraged me to take a lot of Friday nights off. Both raved about your performance in the broadcast booth, so this could be the beginning of a second career. Truthfully, we've been looking Matt and I to get rid of Star Luka for years, but
a long time.
Welcome, and all kidding aside, what was it like to be on the other side of the mic last week?
It was different, let me tell you. Putting the headsets on in a different venue, let's put it that way. I mean, I've got to be locked and loaded in a different direction, but with the focus, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It was just great to get out to see high school football games for a conference. I haven't got out to see too many yet, a few, but it was a great experience.
We're going to do it at least one more time this fall, you and I, for sure, because these 10 bombs will probably be awesome. Enjoyed it early in November, so we'll work together, but... You've had a great run as a high school football coach, and I know you thoroughly enjoyed it. So let's go back to the decision at a relatively young age
to step aside, the motivation behind it, and was it a retirement from coaching, or was it a sabbatical, or don't you even know today?
Right now, it's retirement. I could say that. It's based really mostly on family. And I've got three active daughters, Katie, Kirsten, Sarah. One's a junior, one's a freshman, and they're sport athletes. And they're participating a lot at the varsity level.
They go
based on that's going on. Yep. They're big Blue Warriors. Yes. Yeah, I got a lot of blue in the house. A little bit of red. I said, try to hang in there, man. I have a little bit of red. But that was really based on that and the schedules with you. You know, I knew when I got into it, I was fortunate enough to get into it at a young age. I was 29 as a football coach. It was always a goal of mine. It was always, you know, something that I strive to do and burned to do. And it was about, you know, but I knew someday when I had children that if sometime called for me to be around more to experience some of the milestones that they're going to experience in life, right, I wanted to be there for. And actually, you know, it was something I think it was a decision, quite frankly, I probably made many years ago with my wife as we spoke about it. I missed coaching's time. It just felt right. It just felt right at the time. And actually feel good about it. Missed some players, coaches. I miss coaching against guys like Mark Cicatelli, tremendous person, good friend. You know, guys like Walt Curry, Steve Antonucci, and all those great Massachusetts teams. They've been all the challenges that you have to do, and I miss that greatly. But I'm really at peace with being able to be watching my daughters in a chair at a soccer game, believe it or not, you know, and enjoying it greatly.
I knew he was awesome either this summer when I bumped into him at a swim meet that my son was at and his daughters were at. And I said, hey, how's things going? He goes, well, right about now I'd be in the midst of either a weight room session or instead I'm kicking back in my chair and watching my kids swim in. And I said, right decision? And you kind of shook your head and said, yeah, right now it's definitely the right decision.
Absolutely. In fact, I was talking to Fred Springle just recently, you know, and Fred did the same thing. I think the time when Fred was playing for us a few years back, Fred made that decision, and I totally understood it back then. I really, really did. And he and I talked about a lot. He goes, it's amazing how many hours it's in a 24-hour day, the things that you can do. You know, and I just said it to Walt Coach Perry. I said, I couldn't believe it. Now, last Monday night, I would have been in school, counseling hours, coach did this, coach, you know, and then running down, you know, doing your Monday routine and getting out of the office at 9 o'clock at night after meetings. And I can't tell you how much I did from 2:30 to 9 o'clock. In fact, I was getting off the treadmill with my workout thinking, I've been just getting home. It's amazing the amount of time that a lot of coaches put in at the high school level.
Chris, the new coach who's taken over for you and running the wall program now, Nick Gregorio. Tell us a little bit about that process. I believe you were involved in that process
to some extent.
Of course, with your knowledge, you want to be in there, and when you're talking X's and O's, and they want your expertise.
And it's your school.
And you're still a guidance counselor at that school. So tell us a little bit about that transition. What kind of guy is Nick? I know you spoke very highly of him last week.
You know, it was Tom Radue and Ross Panicue and Mike Mendez, two gentlemen with a football background, the vice principals in our building, did a great job with the whole process. And occasionally they'd come in and ask a question. It was nice to feel a part of it. And I thought it was a very, very important decision for the school and the community. And they did a terrific job. You know, weeding through the whole process, had some real good candidates. But Nick stood out, you know. I think Nick's a great candidate. He's going to be a fine football coach. He's got a few years' experience already as a head football coach. He knows what the job brings. He's got a great work ethic, you know, positive attitude. You know, he's going to do a great job, and he's going to be there for quite a while.
You know, I forget if we talked about this last week on the air, so forgive me in that regard. Have you been to a wall game yet?
Well, I got to the Red Bank game. It was an exciting game. The kids did a terrific job.
Double overtime.
And that's, you know, when I saw Nick a little bit walking the sidelines, it was tough at first. You know, the first quarter line, I didn't know where to stand, you know. I didn't know where to be. But as the game unfolded, you know, I became a fan. You know, I'm rooting the kids on as they came off the sideline. And watching Nick in certain situations as that game started to make even simple way, and the way the kids rallied and the coaching staff, I watched the stress level on the sideline. I didn't miss that as much. But they used a nice one for the program.
Just in the end, we're talking right now with Chris Barnes, a former coach at Jackson Memorial and Wall. And, you know, the fact that we talk so much about Wall because it's the most recent, I think maybe it's certainly where you had the most success in wins and losses. But I think a lot of people forget the fact that, you're, you know, and I'm not buttering you up because you're here, but you're really you were the foundation of the Jackson program that when you left then reaped the benefits of you and your staff and ended up having two unbelievable years and two of the better, you know, better teams ever in the Shore Conference. And I wonder when that happened, what it was like to know that those players would have been your players.
It was probably one of the tough decisions in my career for me, and it was very difficult. I mean, I remember getting there, and it was it was the program that had some success at times with the program, but had been on a 4 or 5 year run where they really were struggling some. And it was a change of an attitude, and it was development of a whole program and took time. I mean, I couldn't have done it without the coaching staff, all the people that I worked with there, a tremendous group, and the support of the administration, Ralph Coretta, Mr. Bernie Ryder, who hired me, Dave Trethway, all those great people that were there, and then eventually and the community support, and then facing programs like the Mr. Coach right here, Rick Memorial, Brick Lane, Tom's River South, Tom's River North, Coach Nanny, and all those great teams, and trying to get that third turn around in the midst of the A South every week. And then playing your independent people with the A North. It was a process that I'll never forget. Great experience, and it was very difficult to walk away. But once again, I could get a lot of people looked at me. There was a few coaches that I know pretty well and great people. Kind of looked at me, why did you leave? I left for my family. I could get 4 miles from my house. The program was where it needed to be. We were 9-2 the year that you have to stick away, stay in the finals, and we felt very good at where it was. And it wasn't an easy decision, but I thought, the way you look at it is you can look in the pictures on the wall of your family, and you can look at the state championship, which one's more important. And I felt getting home, like closer to home, where I could get in and out of the house faster, serve the purpose, and I didn't think it'd come around again. And you make decisions in life, and you roll with it, and it worked for the best for all, I think.
What about a good team? I know you said you hadn't been to too many games so far, but I'm sure you read the papers, and you follow it somewhat, What about the good teams? The team will be the same teams this year from last year. Manalapan, Boynton, RBC.
Manalapan's on a great run. Coach does a great job. His staff, boy, are they on a great run. Mark Cicatelli can't say enough of what he does with his kids and his program and the way he approaches the game from week to week. And, the integrity that he instills in the game with the kids.
And that's three programs that really have basically new coaches in the last few years. Portello at RBC, and Coach Cicatelli at Neptune, and of course, Guerrieri at Manalapan.
Yep, and Coach Portello and I have had a few conversations. Actually, I saw him at a softball game this spring, and he was watching his son play. And what a terrific person. They're on a track where they're trying to compete with the Don Boscos now, and St. Joe's, and Catholics, and they're coming of age, so to speak. And we played a lot of very good teams. Frank Edgley was there, and started that process. And Coach Portell just jumped right in and taken almost to another level. And sometimes, it does hold true with the philosophy, and it holds true with the commitment of the staff and the kids and the players, and sometimes two good players, it helps a little bit.
Chris, when you think about it, not coaching this year, and you and I started to talk about it as we were leaving the game last week, it probably makes it a little bit easier to stay in touch with some former players who are now in college, of which I know there are several at Wall. How much contact do you have with some of the guys who played for you the last couple of years?
Yeah, a lot. I've seen my team right each week. What a great year big guys having.
Leading receiver.
Leading receiver. Yeah, how about that, huh? ESPN the other night, I jumped out of my seat. My daughters were upstairs when he caught that weak stick route over the middle of the first down. I'm screaming. They said, Timmy must have caught a pass.
After many struggles his first few years up there with injuries and so on.
Yeah, he fought. He had that injury. We saw him last year against Navy. And he caught it. It ended up being a game-winning touchdown pass. And we had a great conversation with him and mom and dad. And I saw him this summer at the Offshore Classic. He came out and watched the game. It was a great conversation. He's going to graduate on time. He's going criminal justice. Wow. And I believe he's still another year of eligibility. So I think it's a great – he has a lot in front of him because he's going to graduate. He's got a chance to graduate work. You know, we're staying in, or yes, I believe that with what they have, you can see what they have. They're going to get some NFL players in that red house. You know, some guys might play on Sunday, and Blake Scapinago was down at Temple. You know, we're going to go down to the Temple Rutgers game in a couple of weeks, a bunch of us in a bus. You know, go see the boys and support them, and we're excited about that. You know, and you know, we got a few now. And Stephen Pooley's down at William and Mary. I text Stephen every now and then. You know, he's still out. He's probably in a situation where he's a freshman. He's got to ride that situation out and feel his way. And Matt Ford is at Lehigh. That's out at Lehigh. Bill Lauch is over at Monmouth. That's a linebacker. I have one promise, and this is like sent me to schedule. I have to get to a game this year. I haven't seen him play yet. I saw Ronnie play when he was there, and I got to see Billy play. I got to get out there this year.
Well, I know where you're going to be tomorrow night. You will be at Wall High School.
Yes, I will.
Their game was great because it's a double whammy. They are honoring the 1982 championship team coached by the late John Amabile, whose wife will represent him tomorrow night. And Freddie Sprinkle was on that team, by the way. And the 2002 state championship coached by Chris Parks.
We're excited about it. You know, I think Fred was instrumental in starting it, talking about it with Tom Radu, and they got it and they kicked it off, and it just kind of took off. We're excited about it. I think it plays a role in track. Coach Ciccatelli was talking about traditional. I think that's important. And Fred, I can remember some of the names. Fred Springle, Arpa Trackle, Greg Panasuk, Bobby Amabile, Coach Amabile, some great teams. In fact, that 82 team, we were on. There's three teams going to the shore in the final, and the state final, they were undefeated. We're on the town north, us, Coach Caboo, and Coach Amabile's Wall team, and Coach Wolf's Brick team, I believe. And that year, we're undefeated. We lost to J.P. Stevens. They won in the final. I think Brick won in the final also. Right, Coach? Yeah. Well, that's not bad. Memory's still there. And, then our 202 team, great group of kids. I'll never forget it. We came off two seasons of 9-2 in 2000. We lost in the semifinals to one Brick. We beat Manasquan. The following year, we go 10-1. We lose to Middletown. We win the semifinals. And then beat Manasquan. So here we are. We're desperate, right? We feel this is it. You know, it's just this feeling that you were gonna make it, you were gonna do it, and then clock that elusive 12-0, and then we went and played Mount Swan, and both scored on the feet, and they beat us 14-7. Coach Caboo put on a clinic, a grind in the clock out. You know, boys running back carried the ball 52 times. I'll never forget the fourth down convergence, great job. And then we thought to ourselves, we didn't have to face that adversity all year. I'll never forget it. Lawrence Bedroom that day, one of our leaders on the team, leading rusher that year, best open field tackler we have ever had on our program. Lawrence went in the locker room that day, took out the two division pullovers from the year previous years. So we got it and said, the great division titles bounced out. We got a couple. It was all about the ring before we playing for the ring. And after that, we'd have same thing as kids. We got it done that day, and they had a great game against Middletown South. Again, we had a tough loss the year before, and it was just a magical season. For the community, for the kids, for the players.
I have two things. In the 2002 game, if memory still works for me a little bit, was that the TARP game?
Yeah, it was the TARP game.
That was a couple days before, and the school had rented a TARP to keep the field intact because it was not a neutral site game. It was at the high school.
And we had, 3 or 4 inches of snow, and a lot of the Rutgers Stadium game, we had decided to play home. The kids wanted to play home. We gave that decision to the kids, and they said, let's play at home, Coach. We want to be here. I said, okay. and
shut down. No Sean Marino.
Yeah, we didn't have to talk to Rutgers. I guess
we
did.
And actually, we were at Rutgers, right? Doing games, I believe. Yeah, remember that snow game?
I don't have a memory.
Cooper played their final there. I think later on. That you know, after the weekend we played. But it was amazing because there was snow everywhere and the field was in pristine shape.
I'm pretty sure we were at that game. Yeah, we were.
You and I were at that game.
We were at that game.
You are. We haven't done the Mom and County
game. You did the game. Yes, you did.
We haven't done the Mom and County game.
We were at that game. And I remember, didn't somebody rent, or not rent, but borrow your field? Because they play with that Keyport?
It was Keyport, I think.
They borrowed the field to play the game like on a Monday because they could not have snow out. I remember that.
It's like a little stroll down. I got one favor to ask of you. After last week, when can you get Kevin in a room and you can give him some new terms of strategy and some updated lingo for me? Ed and I, we were amazed with some of the terms and current. It's against you, buddy. I want you to stay current with new terms and formations. I mean, nobody's running the wing team anymore, so we don't have to worry about that. You're putting on a terminology clinic last week.
When you pulled out the word static on defense, I remember that one. Yeah. I knew what you were talking about.
I know you did. I don't want to get carried away. So I'm confusing myself, though. Maybe.
We're just about out of time on what has been a very entertaining segment, at least for the four of us. Whatever you think is not really careful. I'm going to guess, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that you believe you played in Middletown North, you played in Syracuse.
Yes.
Is this the first fall that you have not been involved in football since before high school?
Yeah, it is.
That is unbelievable.
It's amazing. But I'm still around.
September's a nice month, isn't it?
It's a great month. I thought I'd play more golf. I haven't had time for that. No, not yet. Everybody's too busy at home. Family's too busy. She's got the schedules going, and we get to work every day. It's like a job. It's another job.
All right, two quickly. Number one, will you be at Walt Manisquan on Thanksgiving Day?
Oh, I won't miss it for the world. I never do and never will.
At some point later, when your kids are grown up, that you would go back even to be an assistant coach just to get your hands in it? Or are you going to be like a lot of guys that once they got out of it, they realized, the grass is a little greener on that other side?
Right now, it's a little greener. But, you know, my wife and I talk about it. But it's the right time, and it feels right. You know, we're at peace with it, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. In fact, I got to a Syracuse-USC game, and we are going to the Syracuse breakfast game with the whole family. So, I mean, when can I do that? I haven't done that in years yet.
Well, we really appreciate you coming down, guys. Thanks for the great job you did last week. Looking forward to working with you and getting all that lingo in November when those two guys take
over. Send them an email.
I'm going to go back to shoresportsnetwork.com. The game is up there. I'm going to listen to it. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. You do a great job. I appreciate being here. I love everything.
Well, I will take a timeout top of the hour as we come up, and then we'll come back, hopefully chat with Mom and University head coach.